Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Watson. And I am back from the RT Book Lovers Convention, and it is such a great time going there. I get to see all of the volunteers, the RT staff, readers, and authors that I've become more than just acquainted with over the years. And it feels just like we're one big happy family. Of course, I always meet new readers and authors as well, which is one of the things that I enjoy most about attending every year. But there's no rest for the weary. Back in the saddle here at Readers Entertainment with a special event tonight. My guest tonight is a debut author, so we want to definitely tell him a big congratulations on publishing his first novel. He writes young adult. He writes science fiction and fantasy, and I'm very excited to chat with him this evening. Besides that, one of his daughters is named Alyssa, as is mine. So along with that and living in the Midwest, we have quite a few things in common. A graduate of the University of Notre Dame and a first-time author. Again, my guest has always been drawn to spiritual and motivational materials. In fact, he was inspired to write Triumph of the Spirit as a reflection on overcoming life's challenges and insights gained along the way from his own personal journey. So it is my pleasure this evening to welcome David Pilarski to the show tonight. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Lisa. And I'm certainly honored and excited to be here. Alyssa is a beautiful name, isn't it?
It is. It is. I was definitely interested in picking something I wouldn't tire of hearing forever.
Yes.
I like it because it's a very strong, pretty name.
Oh, it is, and I appreciate that. You must have picked up on that from my dedication, which was to all four of my kids. My eldest, Adam, is 21, and then I have a daughter, Amanda, who's 19. Alyssa, who we were just talking about, is soon to be 17, and my youngest is Alexander, he's 14. So you can kind of see a theme there, the all eight.
Right.
All eight
right.
You know, I was just going to say, as an aside, it just sort of happened. It wasn't planned. It's not like I had a bucket list, and number one was get married, two have kids, and three named children, and all the first letter of the alphabet. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So, and one more thing we have in common. I also have a brother named David. So we're definitely on the right track tonight, David.
Excellent. All right.
Now, for listeners out there that may not know you already or your work, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm originally from the Midwest. I grew up in a small town called Niles, Michigan, which is literally sits on the border of Indiana and Michigan in southwest Michigan. And it's 15 minutes due north of South Bend, Indiana. So that's where I spent my childhood and young adult life. I'm the youngest of five kids in my family. So big Catholic family. Stayed local to go to school at Notre Dame. And I graduated there in 1990 with a bachelor's of business administration with a concentration in accountancy. I worked as a CPA, then made the switch to corporate America, where I've spent, almost 20 years or so working in corporate America. I did live for over 10 years out east due to a job change and a relocation. And I lived in Connecticut. That's where I absolutely fell in love with the ocean. We obviously already established that I have four kids. So that's a little bit about me.
Now, what prompted you to begin writing, David, and ultimately write your first novel?
You know, Lisa, it's really funny because it was never in my stream of consciousness to write a book. Mm-hmm. And obviously my educational professional background in business and finance related things. And so I really have to trace the origins of this back to well over 15 years ago. The company that I was working with at the time was going through a major reorganization. And for those of us who are work in the corporate America arena, that usually translates into, you know, expected job layoffs. So at the time, let's see, we had three kids, one on the way. I was the sole provider at the time. And so I had a tremendous amount of stress and anxiety over what's going to happen. And I just had all the extreme negative thinking and thoughts of playing out the worst possible scenario that can happen. Given,
right.
You know, I've got all these souls to take care of. So, and I was riding on the freeway, and I remember a very, very poignant moment when four words flashed into my head while I'm driving on the freeway into work: triumph of the spirit. And I can't explain it. I didn't understand what it was. And, you know, a few weeks passed, and I began to get an answer to really a question I didn't even ask, which
mm-hmm.
was, what is this? What is this? Prayer for the Spirit. And it ultimately, I realized, was the title of a book. A
gotcha.
Book that I seemingly was supposed to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I ignored it for the longest time. Obviously, since it's taken me over 15 years to write it and get it published. But, you know, four kids and, you know, a day job and all that.
Right. Life gets in the way of creative genius.
It is, isn't it, right? If only. But nonetheless, I sat down and started writing. Again, it was well over 15 years ago. And I was terrified. I had no idea what I was doing, why I was doing it. And I had no idea where it would go. But
mm-hmm.
gradually, I stuck to it. And pretty soon, ideas began to form and a story emerged.
Wow. You know, and it's really interesting how when you finally do plug into that creative conduit, so to speak, how ideas
mm-hmm.
just, once you open it, just our ideas just start flooding in. And,
yeah.
and that muse just turns on. And after that, it's like you can't switch it off.
It's a cool thing, really, when that happens. I know exactly what you're referring to because it got to a point where it became almost like a movie playing out in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept a notebook. I started keeping a notebook with me. Like almost, you know, anywhere I would go, if I suddenly had an idea, I would write it down in a notebook.
Right, right.
And then try to incorporate it later into the story. So, I never would have thought in a million years that I would be writing a book, but here we are.
Now, your bio mentions that you've always been drawn to spiritual and motivational materials. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, no, sure. It really started in high school, of all things. So, you know, when I was a freshman at the ripe old age of 14, I suffered from terrible depression, terrible, terrible depression. And in fact, it got so bad and debilitating that my parents had to seek some professional help for me. So I kind
mm-hmm.
of learned at a young age what darkness is like and how powerful the mind can be. And powerful in the sense it could be on either extreme, right, both in terms of,
mm-hmm.
you know, the good and the bad, and if we allow it to. So I felt like part of my recovery was to get back on my feet and really start searching for life.
Right.
So one day I was in a bookstore, and I came across a book entitled The Magic of Thinking Big by Dr. David Schwartz. And Dr. Schwartz talks about the importance of monitoring your thoughts, thinking positively toward oneself, and to really... And I love this particular comment in the book, to think what can be, not just what is.
Gotcha.
So that really kind of started me into that whole genre, which, you know, is something that, again, amidst career and kids and coaching and things of that nature, I never had a tremendous amount of time to read, but I definitely would find specific authors who, in that genre, that I felt could really help and benefit myself. But it kind of started there. It started in high school with Dr. Schwartz's book, The Magic of Thinking Big. Now, I just have to mention a little side note here, Lisa, about my first inspirational read. I actually shared with a friend of mine, so keeping in mind, again, I'm like 15 or 16 years old at the time, that I bought this book. But he misheard me, and he thought I said that the name of the book was The Magical Thinking Pig. So you can imagine.
Oh, it's a paranormal, is it?
You can imagine the time that had to pass for me to live that one down. For a while, you know, the running joke was, you know, Dave gets his life's inspiration from the heroic swine. So I just wanted to share that with you, Lisa. You know, since then, I've gone on to read other motivational works by, you know, Marianne Williamson, Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra. So, you know, really, if I could summarize it into one of those key elements among all those inspirational writers, it really helps you evolve and grow in opening up to your true self, or opening up to your eternal self, your spiritual self. So, you know, I've always been drawn to that, and you know, it's been interesting and eye opening for me.
Enlightening,
exactly.
Now, before we get wrapped up hearing more about David Pilarski, I'd like to let listeners know that our live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment there, or you can ask questions. You can give us a call at area code 646-200-4071. And, of course, after the live show, I will post the recap blog for David's show, and you can check out the podcast on readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that want to learn more about David as we're chatting with him, you can check out his website at www.davidpilarski.com. And David, your debut novel, of course, is Triumph of the Spirit. Tell us a little bit more about that. It is a young adult novel. And so take us through what that's about and the major players in your novel.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So really, the story revolves around one key character, a young man. He's 18 years old, and his name is Matthew. So the way it unfolds is that you get a feel that Matthew has kind of always been an all-American type kid, respectful, just, you know, smart, he's athletic, and, you know, he does what is expected of him. He's one of three kids in his family. And so he basically is living his life in that kind of environment, but he secretly has struggled for something or with something for a very long time. And it's a feeling or a desire for something more. And one day while he's baling hay on his grandfather's farm, he notices a streak of light flash across the sky and finds a mysterious metallic oval object has crashed onto his grandfather's farm and literally into his life, which sets off a chain reaction. And he starts to have these dream sequences where he ultimately encounters a guide named Samuel. So the Samuel is another key character in this story, and Samuel's job is to help Matthew unlock the power within himself and fulfill a very important purpose. So Samuel takes Matthew on a journey that really literally spans, you know, time and space in order to help Matthew awaken to his true self and his true purpose, that to fulfill that desire for something more. And Samuel introduces something called the five levels of spirit, But he just doesn't tell Matthew what they are. Matthew first has to experience them by entering into the lives of others, past, present, and future, in order to grasp the true meaning and to really, you know, help him awaken, because it's something that Matthew knew that he had to do because he had always had this secret desire.
Now, you know, the interesting thing is, the interesting thing is if Matthew's like kids today, it's like when you're saying that Samuel can't really tell him, Matthew kind of has to learn this stuff as he goes along and things unfold in front of him. So it's interesting because most kids nowadays, they want everything up front. They want you to tell them everything. They don't want to wait. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, Matthew really has to have the patience and the ability to kind of just wait and kind of have things unfold in front of him as he goes along.
Right. Yeah, that's excellent point, Lisa, because there is a point in the story. I'm not going to give it away, obviously, but you know, I want to entice people that ultimately he does grow impatient, ultimately just wants to skip to the end. And you know, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So you have to let it unfold. You have to go through a process, and it does require patience and courage.
Right, because he's kind of facing unknowns and things he's never had to deal with ever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So, it's interesting, you know, as I mentioned earlier, just sort of as the writing process continued and the story was unfolding and I began to write that trying to infuse those scenarios in which Matthew could learn a particular lesson, but doing it in a manner where he had to experience it firsthand. And that it wasn't just about Samuel just articulating verbally. This is
right.
What this means. Because it's much more powerful when you experience it and you feel it. And really that's a huge part of the journey that Matthew takes.
Now, you know, Matthew, just reading, Matthew is also driven by familiar expectations as well as the need he has to, you know, not rock the boat too much when it comes to his life and what's expected of him. And then out of the blue, as you said, his world has changed forever. Now, does this awakening and the things that are unfolding before him trigger changes in his personality as the story continues along, or does Matthew kind of stay on the straight and narrow?
You know, I would say that there comes a point that Matthew has to make a choice. And, you know, just like we all do, we all have choices in life.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew's desire to continue to progress required him to make, you know, a series of choices. And there was a big one in there. And I wouldn't say that throughout his journey that his personality changed. But I also wouldn't characterize it that he stayed necessarily on the quote-unquote straight and narrow. Because it did require him to deviate from his norm, from his what he felt was his predestined path, in order to face something. And he had to face a very, very dark, pivotal moment where he had to face himself and he had to face his past. And it was something that he kept very deeply within himself. Just a deep-seated secret, and so it's something that he avoided his entire life. But he could not progress in his journey with Samuel and couldn't fulfill his purpose until he faced that pivotal point in the past and finally confronted it. So yeah, it and from beyond that, you know, he could continue.
Right. Now, for those just tuning in, we are speaking with debut author David Polarski about his new young adult novel, A Triumph of the Spirit. So, David, were there ever moments in your writing process that your characters were kind of tugging you in one direction and you were going in another? And if so, how did you handle that and kind of get everybody back on track?
You know, Lisa, I would say that really the relationship between Samuel and Matthew, it started out with, you know, kind of an introduction, and Matthew placing his trust in Samuel to be his guide, and it really was more of it started out more as a mentor-mentee. So I would say it started out as a guide. He became more of a mentor-mentee kind of relationship. But the thing that I kind of struggled with a little bit was that seemed a little too simplistic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there definitely is conflict between the two as the story unfolds, as the journey progresses. And then there's kind of a twist in the end with their relationship. And it was really about toward the end that gets revealed. And really, it was that progression that I had within myself of how to where to take it, just to introduce that twist. Because as you know, midway through the story, it just felt a little bit too, I don't know, mundane. So I felt like, I mean, maybe to
we just shake things up a little bit.
Just shake it a little bit up there.
Now, I ask this question really in every interview, and I never get the same question answered twice. So name one thing you've got to have while you're writing and why.
Well, let's see, a computer. Now that counts, right? Do I
yes.
Need a computer?
And nobody has said that yet, by the way.
No, they haven't.
I guess that was just a Zoom.
Although
you know, somebody
did
say that they use pen and paper, so.
I definitely have to have a computer. All right, so you know, one big one, Lisa, that I have to have while I'm writing is some quiet solitude. And which was tough, you know, with four children. and you know, at one point, you know, we had four kids age 7 and under. So things were a little hectic. So for me, it really boiled down to carving out the time, the quiet time, which inevitably ended up being late at night after the entire household was asleep.
Right.
So, you know, kind of that quiet time, just me, the computer, and occasionally I would play classical music, hop on my headphones and play some music as I would write.
A little eine kleine Nachtmusik.
Yeah.
Now,
exactly.
Since you've got the four kind of ranging between teenage and new adults, did they have any input into your novel? Did you kind of tell them about it before you were finished, or as they kind of saw you, you know, writing and kind of getting further along in the process, did they offer any advice or anything?
You know, it's really kind of interesting because I kept this a secret for the longest time. The only person who knew about it was my then wife. And even then I wouldn't let her read it. So I literally, I would only work on this late at night when the kids were sleeping, and they were so young. That it wasn't until as they got older that, you know, I finally told them, oh, by the way, Dad's been working on a book.
Right.
You know, it was just sort of, okay. know. They didn't give it a whole lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, okay, what's for dinner?
yeah, exactly. So, and, you know, it did take me forever to write. But there, I would say that there was one idea that my son Adam actually gave me that I infused in the story that was really helpful to infuse some of the creativity and the conduit by which Matthew has these experiences as he learns about the five levels of spirit and his journey progresses. And the way that he introduced it, or the way he posed it to me as an idea, I thought was a really good one. So I baked it in. It has to do with chakras. I'll leave it at that.
Gotcha. So what's next for you, David?
You know, I would say that certainly getting my book up and off the ground and kind of focusing mm-hmm. around that and the marketing of it and whatnot. I still have a day job. like many of us. So
yes, it's always challenging.
It is. But I definitely have plans for another book, and another story that seemed to have bubbled up to the surface. And all right, so Lisa, I'm finding a teaser with you and your listeners here. The actual, and when I realized that I had another story in me to tell, now maybe after some people who read my book might say, Dave, I sure hope you didn't quit that day job. But so we'll be optimistic.
Or they'll probably go, hey, when's the next one? Are you going to make this a series?
That's right. We're going to stay optimistic here, Lisa. So, but as a teaser, there is an intro to the next story in Triumph of the Spirit.
Okay.
So
I can't wait to get to that.
There is a reference to it. A very subtle one,
awesome.
But it's there.
Then, David, let listeners know how they can get in touch with you.
The best way would be just to go to my website, davidpolarski.com, and you can certainly submit a query and drop me a line through my website.
Cool. Now, name one thing. We got a couple minutes, though. Name one thing that I didn't ask you, but that you wish I would have.
Let's see, Lisa. Here's one, Lisa. You could have. I don't know if anybody's ever given you this, but you could have asked me, Dave, do you have any questions of me? So, you know, do I get to ask you any questions, Lisa? What's your life story? What are your passions and dreams? You know, do you have a favorite species of bird or anything?
Well, really quick, my dream is just to continue to write, you know, because, like I said, that's something that I kind of just kept coming back to over the years. And finally I said, okay, I get it. You know, this is obviously something I'm supposed to be doing. So it's kind of just the desire to be able to continue to write, you know, stories that, you know, are on my heart and that touch other people. I mean, that really, I think, is one of the things that I'm supposed to do in life, and I just want to be able to continue to do it. So that's the big thing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you. And thank you for answering my question.
Oh, thank you, David, for coming on tonight. It has been such a pleasure having you this evening. And congratulations again on your debut novel, Triumph of the Spirit. I am looking forward to continuing to read that and, you know, seeing that story. And I'm going to be looking for the hints for the next one.
Very good. Well, thank you for having me, Lisa. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio this evening. Don't forget, you can stop by readersentertainment.com. I'll be adding the recap blog tonight of David's show. And if you like, you can leave a comment there. Please let everyone know that his podcast is available. and to check out his debut novel, Triumph of the Spirit. So this is Lisa Watson, your host, saying good evening and have a wonderful, happy day. Bye, David.
Bye-bye, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.